We've been having a great time at camp, and this is kind of the last day for camp, and now we're going to leave a cocoon, and we're going to have to go back into the world. And Sunday is a time of rest for us to all come together as a family, and it should be a safe place. It should be a place where we let all our guards down. How many know you can't let your guard down in the world? They'll tear you apart. We're not told to let our guard down.
Yeah.
We're told to guard our heart. But when we come into the house of God, that's where we're told to empty and allow God to work and move and do things. And then his word comes forth to equip us to go out for another 6 days and just do it for it. Allow him to just work through us. And so what I want to share with you is this. A lot of us have made a decision to follow Christ, which is fantastic. It's great. And that's just the first step to greater steps to go with God. And what I want to share with you is the Lord really impressed on my heart that it wouldn't be right. We really wouldn't be, honestly, I'll be honest with you, and I'm always on. I don't know why we say that's wrong.
Right.
I mean, even as believers, let me be honest with you. Like, I've been lying to you the whole time, right? Let me be honest with you right now. Everything else I said before that, it's a lie. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's an oxymoron. But anyways, I want to share with you this. We would not be good ministers if we did not bring the whole counsel of God. There's a lot of good news in that Bible. Can I tell you something? Yep. There's a lot of bad news in that Bible. And now we live in a world where people want to hear all the good stuff. And the Lord said the people want to get the candy, the cookies, the Coke, all the stuff that makes them filled up quickly, but then makes them obese and hurts them. It kills them. And he doesn't want that in the spiritual realm. He wants you to be fit as a fiddle. And so he wants to be able to play your life because you're the song that the world's going to hear.
Yeah.
And so what you need to do is you need to get your vegetables. You got to have your greens. You got to have the cauliflower. You got to have these things to go ahead and equip you and help you and make you whole. And so if I didn't share some of the other issues that are going to happen, you would go out and here's what would happen. You think everything is great, which it is. But when as soon as you come up against an obstacle, you wonder, where's God? As soon as a trial would come, where's God? As soon as something happened that was negative, you go, where's God? I've always heard all these positive things. Well, there is negative things in the world.
Oh, come on.
And we have a God that's very positive that wants to work and move mountains and destroy negativity, but it's called work. And we need to work the word. And I want to share with you, because now that you've become saved, you're dangerous. Before you weren't. And some of us, honestly, that are saved, we're really not on the cutting edge with God. And really, we're not very dangerous at all. We're kind of dull, like a butter knife. And we need to be sharp like an axe. It takes more pressure to cut wood and exhaust yourself with a dull blade than it does with a sharp blade. Because the axe that's sharp, it's ready to go. You could take a little child like that or a big person like myself, and if you let that axe fall from a certain way, the way that axe handle is made and the weight of the axe, it will cut right now. But you get dull, I don't care how strong I am. It's going to take a long time, and that little child that has a sharp axe will go right through it. Everybody be laughing at me, sweating and everything while they're eating candy and cookies and having fun. And here I'm still cutting that wood. And God wants us to be sharp for him. And there's only one way to be sharp for him, and that's to study his word and allow the word to work in our lives. It's the word that does the work. We work the word. Just like if you had to go out, some of us kids, we have to do chores, right? So do the adults. Mom, dad, they wash clothes or wash dishes. But if they didn't have the tools, they couldn't get things clean. If you don't have soap, the soap can't work, even though you have the soap on the sink, if you don't have a sponge and put your hand to the sponge with the soap and now you're working it, right? But what's really doing the work? Is your hand creating the suds? No, the soap is. Is your hands removing the muck and dirt off the plate? No. Or the extra food? The sponge is. You're working the sponge for what it's supposed to do. And the word works the same way. There's a lot of word in here. But if you don't know the word for your situation, all you're really doing is throwing mud up against the wall. But we don't want to have a mud. We want to have a smooth stone in our hand. So when we let that thing fly, it does its work. A pebble can do great things. It's not the one splash of the water that comes on a rock and puts a hole in it. It's the constant drip, the drip, the drip, the drip that eats away a rock. And before you know it, you have a basin. And that's what God wants to work. Sometimes we live in an instantaneous world. We think we live in an instantaneous world where I can go down and get Taco Bell like this. But somehow when my wife makes tacos at home, it doesn't come that quick. No. She has to cook it up. But here's the deal. We get so used to an instantaneous world that we think if God doesn't do it like right now, he must not love me or something's wrong with my faith. No, things take time. Very few things in the natural happen like this. Very few. You can't take an acorn seed and put it in the ground and get a tree the next day. It takes time. And God, sometimes I love it when he does miracles like, boom, that's terrific. But sometimes it's a process. And sometimes we get tired in the process. And we don't want to get tired in the process. We want to stay, watch this, we want to stay in his position, in love, and allow him to move and work. Yeah. Now listen to this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, in John 16:18. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I don't know why my people at work, they just don't like me, and they call me a Bible thumper and all this stuff. Well, that's what they did to Jesus. When you're living opposite of evil, people aren't going to they're not going to like it. Now look at what it says here, verse number 20. Remember the word that I said to you. Notice what Jesus says, remember the word. Jesus wants to say that again to some of us. Some of us have been in the body of Christ for a lot of years. Remember the word that he spoke to you. Young kids, remember how you got saved this yesterday night. Remember that, how God touched your heart, that you want to let him have his way in your life. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Persecution is going to come to all of us who live for Jesus. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be looked upon wrongly. You're going to be like an outcast. Some of the kids are going to think it's funny that you want to go to and you want to pray, or you want to read your Bible, or you want to bring your Bible to school and you want to read it. You're going to get kids are going to say things against that. Adults the same way. They're going to treat you differently. They're going to persecute you. If they persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute you. I know an individual that got saved in the United States military, came out, went to his home, was all excited to tell his family about Jesus Christ, got off the bus, he got picked up at the bus station, brought home, went to go visit his mom at her work, told her mom, guess what happened to me? I got saved. Jesus changed my life. I'm a brand new person. I no longer am that same person. And she spit in his face and said, don't you preach at me. He didn't even preach at her. She got convicted of her lifestyle. But you know what he did? He just wiped the spit off. And he said, Mom, I love you. And today his mother's saved. Amen. Took 20 years. There's things that happen. Persecution is not fun. People get persecuted for a lot of things. We use the word no bullying. Remember that? Bullying, no bullying? But there are bullies, aren't there? And they will. When they find out, young people, you got saved, not everybody's going to be happy with it. But don't you worry. Things can change. You don't get worked up about it. Don't think that God has left you, because that happens. God hasn't left you. There's more of God in you now than there was before, and now you're making a difference. You're actually shaking up the darkness. Same with us adults. We're shaking things up. The light's coming in there. It's penetrating their world. And guess what? They're freaking out. They're like, what is going on? I never used to feel bad. Now all of a sudden I'm around these people. I feel bad. I have to shut that down. Remember what we talked about yesterday, young people? Everyone feels bad, right? And there, all that happens is you're the light that's going in the darkness, and they don't want to get rid of that darkness. They want to hang on to it. So the only way they want to do is put that light out. And some of us have gone from a standing position in God, come on, older people, have sat down in the midst and camped with some of the evil people of the world. And now we've lost our light. We've lost our fire. We've lost our voice. Stop. Come back. Remember. Change. It's easy. Repent. Have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Jesus said this also right from there. Remember, he's talking to his disciples right before he's going to get crucified here. And he says in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 33, he says this: "These things I have spoken to you about persecution. In me you'll have, he says here, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." See, when all this is going on, if you stay in him, you're going to have peace. He says, "In the world you will have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have constraint and be pushed on. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Timothy says it this way. Paul says it in 2 Timothy. He's telling a young pastor who's very young. And he tells him this: "But you have carefully followed my teaching, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The Lord will deliver you from those persecutions, but you cannot give in to them. And here's what happens. As soon as somebody persecutes us, you know what we do? I don't like them. We learned something. Remember today, when I count to three, remember what we said? One, two, three. That's not fair. And guess what? Adults feel the same way. And adults get mad. And adults get, listen to this, they get offended. And adults act worse than kids. I'm not going to play with them no more. If adults would just act like you guys, come on, some of you got into it this weekend, got mad at one another, you kids, but in a couple minutes later, you forgot all about it and playing with one another. I'd love to go to the playground. I'd love to take my whole church, the next church I pastor, and we have trouble in it. I'm going to rent a big old bus. I'm going to put everybody in it, and I'm going to go down the playground, and I'm going to have the adults watch the kids fight, get upset, and then the next thing you know, they're going to go down the slide smiling and everything. And then I'm going to make the adults go on the playground. I'm going to make the kids watch them.
Oh, no.
Because that's what happens. I'm serious. That's what happens. The adults get all mad, and then they go, "I'm not talking to them."
Yeah.
Hey, how many have heard this, adults? I'm going to check them off my list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're not supposed to have a list as a Christian. Get rid of that list.
You don't get a list.
And kids do the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean we have to stay around them.
Yep.
But we should never check them off.
Nope.
Because one day, they're going to need our help.
Yep.
And this is what's happened in the body of Christ. We've been getting these messages that everything is so great, and if it's not so great, we just run away from everybody. And that's not true. There's a lot of things in this world that are not great, and God put us in there. In this world, as the light and the help and the salvation for others. Listen to this now. Yes, he said here, "Out of all these things, the Lord has delivered me." Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who decide to live godly means that you're not going to walk like the world walked or how you used to walk before. You're going to walk in God now. And as you start walking in God, young people, I'm going to tell you, there's some other kids that are going to come against you. They're going to say mean things to you. They're going to treat you mean. Adults know that. Don't you get mad at them. They're going to call you Bible thumpers. Jesus people. Don't worry. Weird. Don't worry. Just don't be weird. Speaking to some of you adults too. Get rid of some of them bumper stickers. No, I know. I'm just... Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, here's what happens. We've been not handling it this way. We have not been using the stone that Jesus told to use. Therefore, when the persecution comes, we go to a seated position rather than a standing position in God. And rather than becoming brighter, we become dimmer. And we start getting an attitude and we get messed up in the head. And then now we start having lists and we start marking people off our list. And we start having stinky thinking. And then we start hanging around with the same type of people that are like us. And before you know it, we are not in a place of peace like Jesus said, and we're not overcoming. Here's what Jesus said. This is a stone to put in your bag when this happens. Young people, persecution's going to come because you live for God. When you say, I'm going to church on Sunday, they'll say, why? Come on, we're going to Little League. We're going here. We're going to go to the mall. No, I'm going Sunday. I'm going to church. After that, I'll go. Wednesday nights, too, to the youth. I'm going on Wednesday night to the youth. Why? Why are you going to that? You don't need that. Yes, come with me. Now, here's what it says. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. You're blessed. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You should be getting happy and rejoicing because that's how they treated the prophets before you. That's how they treated Jesus. You should be rejoicing that, thank God I'm not the old me. God is working in me. God has done something in me and the world can see it. God is moving. God is using me. I'm going to get happy, not sad. I'm not going to put them on my list. I'm getting rid of my list. God is moving in these people's lives and I'm happy for that. And that changes your whole outlook.
Yep.
Then you don't get messed up. Now, I want to show you one other thing. Paul says the same thing in the Church of Rome to the Romans here. He says this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Love is an action. It's real simple. I want to do unto others. I want to be treated like from others how I would treat myself. Do to others as you treat yourself. Love one another. It's an action. Well, love one another. It says, harbor what is evil. In other words, hate what is evil. Stay away from evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to the good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love. This is talk about people in the church, folks. Yeah. The church.
Yep.
Wow. And I've seen this. Well, I'm not coming back to that church. There's not one person talk to me. Well, you nasty rascal. Why didn't you talk to somebody? You don't know what that somebody went through. You don't know what they're dealing with. You have no clue to what somebody's dealing with. But then to feel like that, that's not a very friendly church. The Bible says this. Now listen to me. If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. It puts it back on you. Do you know when we go to a new church, my wife and I, we don't even know people. How you doing? How are you? And sometimes they look at you and, they just look like, you know, yesterday's newspaper all hooked up. But then I think, and my wife always tells me, honey, you don't know what they've been through. I said, you're right. I don't know what they're dealing with. Thank God they're in the house of God. But we look at it like, well, they didn't say hi to me. Oh, you self-centered thing, you. You little baby. No, seriously. And same with you kids. Why would you stay away from certain tables and not say hello to somebody? You should say hi to somebody, especially those that have a down face. Because you don't know what they're going through. Because you could go up and say, hi, turn their whole life around. If they're nasty to you, you move on. But remember, you don't have a list. Something happened to me this camp. Ministering at this camp, and a child comes up to me and says, would you pray for me? I said, sure. And the child tells me something. And I'm shooken, and I don't want to say what it is, but it hit me to the very core of my being. And I thought, this child is dealing with an adult situation. And here I am, almost 60 years old. And I'm thinking, no little child should have to go through this. And as soon as we said amen, that little child's face lit up and walked out, went and played like nobody's business. Not a care, not a worry, or nothing. And I thought, Lord, that's why you told us to be like little children. Because most adults hang on to stuff. When we say amen, we really don't mean amen. We mean let's go tell about 10 other people our trouble.
Come on.
We don't really mean amen and trust God and say, God, you got it under control. No, we worry about gnawing a little bit more, pull it out, turn it over in our mind a little bit, get on that thing, saddle it up and ride it. Then till it frosts at the mouth, we kick it and get it back up again. And then people ask us, how you doing? And we listen, we put on a smile of hypocrite. Not love, we say, blessed. And inside we're down. And then we expect when someone asks to pray for us, there's not an ounce of faith in us. There's an ounce of faith, of our fake, not faith. Because we're not walking in love, we're walking in hypocrisy. And the Lord shook everything in me when I saw that. The scripture came alive. I thought I knew that word. But that scripture, I even told my wife, that affected me. That affected me. That child telling me that and watching that child take off, that scripture come in to me like this. Boom! Be like a little child. I thought, man, a little child has no care. Believe their daddy took care of it. I mean, if I told you what it was, most of you people would be shaking in your boots like this. That little child just went on like, daddy's got it. And I thought, well, daddy does have it. Right? She never came up to me again and asked me to pray for it. But some of the places I've pastored before, they come up and wear you out. Call me up. I said, didn't we pray about this on Sunday? It's Wednesday now. You called me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I thought we prayed in faith on Sunday. No, I prayed in faith. They faked it. Are you understand what I'm saying? But a child just believed God's going to take care of it. Now look at the next thing. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. With brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Listening to one another when someone has something and they come to you. Listen to them. Be attentive to hear them. Not lagging in diligence. That means a steady application to love. Keeping your love walk up. Fervent in the spirit, meaning hot. Hot in the spirit. Listening to your spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in trouble again. Patient in trouble, knowing, hey, I have some trouble, but I'm going to be patient because God's moving through it. People say, how are you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. How about not pretty good over the circumstances?
Come on.
How about not like, hey, happy, I got trouble. I'm not saying I don't have trouble, but I got someone working on my behalf. Who's that? God. Oh, you one of them people. I've heard this before. Oh, you one of those people. You just negated. I said, I never said that to you. I never said once I was negating the problem. I got a problem just like you. I said, but I got a big God moving on a small problem. It may be big to me, but it's small to him. And then they look at me and go, oh, You admit you have a problem? I said, yeah, I have a problem. But I'm resting in my problem and he's working for me. And then when it happens, I've had more people tell me this. I've watched you through your trouble. There's something about that God thing with you. The same ones that persecuted me have then come back and said, there's something about that God thing. I said, and he loves you and it opens up doors. But if you have a list, you're never going to get that opportunity to share. Look at this now. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. I'm continuing steadfast in prayer. Why? Because it's starting to change. Other things are changing and I'm praying through those situations. As the trouble is moving, other things are happening and now I'm changing and I'm praying and I'm staying in faith. And then he says here, distribute to the needs of the saints. Distribute to the needs of the saints. Now, young kids, if you hear of something, somebody in church, your friends, and you hear a need, and it's come to your ears, and you have it, you can actually bless them and give that to them. Because most adults call the pastor when they hear there's something that needs to be given. I think, you know, if you have something, let's say you had a quarter for milk at school, but you already had a milk and you heard somebody was here and you knew there were Christians in your church or even maybe your friend. And you had a milk and it was a quarter. And they said, oh, I sure wish I had a milk. And you go, here's a quarter, go get a milk. You see that? You can meet the need. But a lot of times what happens in church is this. God wants to bless you. So he's caused you to hear about the need. I'm not saying this church. I'm talking about churches I've pastored. Because this is a good church. You know how many calls I get as a pastor? Hey, pastor. So-and-so told me they need a washer. I think the church should buy a washer for them. I said, really? I said, did the person tell you? They said, well, yeah. I said, you know, I think maybe God wants you to buy them a washer. Because I know you. I know you have a lot of money. A matter of fact, don't you own an appliance store? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I thought maybe the church could buy it wholesale from me. I want to spank them. I said, God wants to bless you, and you want somebody else to bless them. The church isn't there always just to give everything out, folks. Sometimes you hear about a need because God wants to bless you. He wants you to be able to sow some seed so he can bless you. And it don't come back in money sometimes. It comes back in all kinds of different ways. God has given you things that you have so you can be a blessing. Even kids, we're hoarders. Honestly, we're hoarders. And God has blessed us as a storeroom, as a warehouse to help. You don't know how many times I've heard things from even unsaved people and God say, give it to them. I say, yes, sir. Here you go. And you know what they say to me? Why would you do that? I said, the Lord loves you. They say, huh? I say, the Lord. I said, the Lord's concerned about you. They scratch their head and they go off and tell the other neighbor as they're going with a nice little lawnmower. You know, a preacher across the street gave me this lawnmower. He's a crazy guy. He said, God loves me. And the guy says, really? Let me go see what I can go get from the preacher. You got to watch out for that now. You see what I mean? No, I'm telling you, because they'll come try to steal from you, kids. You got to make sure you follow peace in your heart. All right? Now look at the next thing it says. Distribute to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. In other words, if you have something to eat and you see someone who doesn't have something to eat, why don't you share? Yeah. Just be hospitable. Yeah. My mom used to say this. Did you just eat that lunch and you seen them? You didn't wait for everybody to eat? I said, yeah. She used to tell me, oh, you're selfish. You selfish pig. Because I'd be like, oh, eating it down, right, so I get some more. And she said, you selfish pig, you. You just ate all that stuff because you know what you wanted and you didn't wait for your brothers and sisters. You get up and go to your room and think about what you just did. I think, oh, boy. Oh, they're going to get that other burrito. No, seriously. I'd think like that. Then I wasn't being hospitable. Then I learned about, oh, well, wait. Everybody got something? And now to this day, you can ask my wife, when we go to potlucks and all that, every church we've ever pastored, you ask my wife, every single church, I'm the last one that ever eats. Because I want to make sure everybody gets what they need. Because God's given me enough money to where I can go buy a whole bunch of stuff after if I don't get something at the potluck. But I always try to eat all the ladies' things because I don't want them to get mad at me. I do. Ask my wife. I always try to take a little bit. And I never lie. How was that? It was unusual. Never had a dish like that before. Ain't like mama makes it, but I ate it. No. But here, listen to this now. And I said all that to get to this last verse. Bless those who persecute you. Bless him. Quit saying mean things about them and going around telling everybody what they do. Bless them. How do I bless them, Len? I'm glad you asked me. Father, touch them. They don't even know what they're doing. Oh, God, give me opportunity to share about you. They're lost and going to hell. They need to see about you. They have no clue about you. Somehow they got a wrong view. Through somebody, something, something happened where they got a wrong view about you, Lord Jesus. Please show them. They went to a wrong church. Something happened. Somebody did something. But please touch them. Help them. Oh, bless their family. Bless their hands. Bless their family. Bless their kids. Do something. Cause them to get a smile today. Bless them. Bless them. Look at what he says. Bless, and he says it again. Bless and don't curse, because he knows you're going to say something wrong. And it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness and having a list is like drinking poison and expecting the person that you're mad at to die. It's not going to happen. There's so many bitter people. I'm going to tell you something. My mom was a bitter woman. My mom was a beautiful, I mean, knockout, gorgeous, beautiful woman. Show you her pictures of her, you'd be like, wow. I mean, stunning. Well, I remember as a kid, men would, and I'd say, wow. I mean, as a little kid, you know, and guys would come around talking to her. But my mom was true blue, faithful. And I remember even my dad would be like, you know, man, you're beautiful. And this, I remember pictures he had on his desk of my mother and that. And then something happened to my mother. I remember the change in fifth grade. She completely changed. Never used to say mean things about people. My wife knows him. My mom shakes my head. Never used to say mean things about people. All of a sudden, my mom became bitter. My mom became a different person. And she went from a nice, slender, I'm talking beautiful, to now she's way overweight, wearing muumuus. My mom's like 5'2", and I'm not kidding you, 350 pounds. And she was like 90 pounds. And I watched this over the years, and I watched her get nasty and bitter and mean and snarling. And then the next thing I know, she'd tell us, stay away from them, this and that and this and this and this and this. And guess what happened? My mom got saved. And 250 pounds came off that woman.
Wow.
I mean, whoomp, it started coming off. She started changing. And now, guess what her gift is? Hospitality. And guess what the pastor calls up when they're going to have a party? My mama. And mama sets up a big old fixin' for the whole church. She goes to a big old church. I mean, big. It's a thing, a mega church. But the pastor sees. But if he would have known her before, he would have never picked her. Never. Now, I'm not saying, I'm heavy. I'm not saying I'm bitter. No, I'm not saying that. Forget about it. I'm just saying she took the bitterness and ate it. Do you find me saying she just sat, ate and ate and ate and ate and ate? Almost killed her. Now, my mom's 77 years old. She don't have ask my wife, not a wrinkle on that woman's face and never been pulled or tucked or. And if you've done any of that, that's fine. But she never did that. No plastic surgery. Doesn't have a wrinkle. Most giving woman you've ever seen. Now, we don't need to get bitter. We need to get better. And it starts at this kind of age. Don't you get mad at somebody. I'm going to tell you something. If you have people you do not like, you need to pray for them today. You really need to get rid of that, young people. Do not let it go. Pray for them. If you have to stay away from them, stay away from them. Now you adults, the same thing. Shame on you. Shame on you for this. And now I'm going to spank you good, adults. You're setting a precedent for the kids, your grandkids. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of legacy when you stand up before God? Are you going to be a love of a hypocrisy or one that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you going to get up there and go, well, you did it all right. The wrong way, but you did it. Folks, bitterness is not good. It spews out to everybody. And God loves you. God cares about us. Now, last final thing. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It takes this quick to get right with God.
Right.
If you've had bitterness, and you know you have, how do you know you have bitterness? When that name is mentioned, you have nothing but bad thoughts, and what comes out of your mouth is not good. That's bitterness. If you have bitterness and you want to get rid of it today, I'm not going to tell you to put your hand up. I'm not going to tell you to do the hokey pokey or any kind of spiritual jumping jacks. I'm going to tell you to do this. Ask God to forgive you right there. Lord, I'm tired of this. Forgive me. Help me to see this person right. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it once you do that. Pray for them. You pray for them. You bless them that curse you. You pray for them. Now, young people, I'm going to say the same thing to you. If you have somebody that comes to your mind and you think bad about them all the time, that's bitterness and that's not good. It will hurt you. It will kill you. You understand that? It will kill you. It will stifle you. You don't want that. When you hear adults talking about other people the wrong way, I want you kids to run as in terror, like the house is on fire. Get away from them. Don't listen to it. Even your friends. Do you follow what I'm saying? You have to guard your heart. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, Lord. We ask you to forgive us for being bitter. We ask you to forgive us for cursing even our ex-husbands or wives or ex-bosses or friends or our next-door neighbor or even the police officers that pulled us over for speeding. Or treating people wrong. People that treated people wrong and we sweeping statements we've made on the TV about them. Forgive us. Oh God, have mercy on our hearts. Heal us, Lord. Show us how to walk in love and not hypocrisy, to really live for you. Guard us. And as we have these smooth stones in our hands now that says, oh yes, persecution will come, but wait a minute, I'm going to rejoice. Oh wait a minute, I'm going to bless. Oh wait a minute, I'm going to pray for them. Thank you for the three smooth stones to cause the kingdom of God to advance and watch the giants fall. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people that you love us. Deal with our hearts. Don't let us get away with anything, Lord. Anything that would displease you. If there's adults here that don't know you, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart and show them that you're real. Visit them in the nighttime. Let them hear about the gospel. If they've been hurt through churches, oh God, forgive us for hurting them. Heal them. And these kids that got saved, protect them. Watch out over them. And use them as a beacon of light to go forth in this dark world to see other young people get saved. And also use us as our adults. Rekindle us. Refire us. Change us. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.